Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So this past Monday, November 23rd, the Oxford University Press released its annual report of the Word of the Year. Every year, they study the way that the English language has been used in the last 12 months, and then they try to capture the feel of the year with just one word. For example, in 2017, the Word of the Year was youthquake, in reference to the unexpected surge of young voters in the UK's general election. In 2018, the word was toxic, because some of the most talked about topics that year were toxic chemicals, toxic waste, toxic environments, and toxic relationships. In 2019, the word was climate emergency. And this was due to how the Guardian newspaper in the UK reported on climate issues. Its editor-in-chief, Catherine Viner, said, "We want to ensure that we are being scientifically precise while also communicating clearly with readers on this very important issue." The phrase climate change, for example, sounds rather passive and gentle when what scientists are talking about is a catastrophe for humanity. So then, how about 2020? If you had to pick one word to describe this year, what would it be? Bad? Mm-hmm. Coronavirus? COVID-19?
Pandemic?
Mm-hmm. Lockdown? Social distancing? Well, as it turns out, the team at Oxford University couldn't pick one word either. So for the first time since they started this Word of the Year project, they selected a whole bunch of words instead of just one. Their list included things like coronavirus and social distancing, reopening and PPE, essential workers and vaccine. They also had a few funny ones, like waist up, meaning when you dress for a video chat from the waist up, but wear PJ pants on your legs. Let's not forget, of course, all of the other words from the year that dealt with things not related to the pandemic. Things like bushfires in January, or impeachment in February, or Black Lives Matter in June. So many things have happened this past year, and it is impossible to capture it all in just one word.
Dizzying.
Well, the people of the early church knew this experience too. But instead of using words, they went for images. They couldn't select one single image to describe what they were going through, so they picked a few different ones. And we see their selection in the gospel reading today. There are images of the sun being darkened, the moon not giving its light, the Son of Man coming in clouds, the fig tree that bears fruit, and a man going on a journey. So what was going on in their world that would bring up so many different images? What was happening when this gospel was written? Well, the Gospel of Mark was the first of the four Gospels to be written. And it was written around the year 70, about a generation after Jesus died. So this early community was facing a number of different challenges, including the fact that Christ hadn't returned yet. But the most pressing issue for them, though, was the Jewish-Roman War, lasting from the year 66 to 73, This was a war between the Roman establishment and the Jewish freedom fighters. It seems to have started when a Jewish temple clerk refused to allow sacrifice to the Roman emperor at the Jerusalem temple. The Jewish people also protested against how Rome was taxing them, and it all just escalated from there. The worst part of the war was in the year 70, right around the time this gospel was written. In that year, the Roman army, led by the Emperor Titus, ransacked Jerusalem, burned it to the ground, and destroyed the temple. That war and the destruction of the temple was a pivotal moment for these Jews. The Jewish historian Josephus wrote this about the attack. "Now, as soon as the army had no more people to slay or to plunder, because there remained none to be the objects of their fury, for they would not have spared any had there remained any other work to be done, Titus Caesar gave orders that they should now demolish the entire city and the temple. This was the end which Jerusalem came to, by the madness of those that were for innovations. A city otherwise of great magnificence and of mighty fame among all mankind. And truly, the very view itself was a melancholy thing. For these places, which were adorned with trees and pleasant gardens, were now become desolate country in every way, and its trees were all cut down. The war had laid all signs of beauty quite waste." So in the midst of this war, in the midst of the holy city being burned, in the midst of the temple being destroyed, that was when the Gospel of Mark was written. It's no wonder, then, why there is such violent imagery in today's reading. Just like how our lives this year can't be summed up in one word, so the experience of those early believers couldn't be summed up in just one image either. They had a lot going on, and a lot of emotions to deal with. So that means at first, this imagery can sound quite scary to us. The darkened sun, the moon not giving its light, that sort of thing. But we must remember that these authors were not being literal. They were trying to describe the feeling of what was happening at the time. It's like the sky was falling in on them and all of the light in the world had gone out. So where was the hope for them? How did those early believers keep going when all of this was happening around them? How did they get a sense of stability when the axis of their world, the temple, had been removed from them? They found hope in Jesus. Listen again to that line that shows up in the middle of this gospel reading. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." There it is. Even when heaven and earth pass away, even when the entire world changes around us, even when we can't capture our experiences in a single word or a single image, Jesus and his words remain with us. Here's an example. The last few lines of this reading say this: "Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all: keep awake." Notice those time markers here. Evening, midnight, cock crow, and dawn. Later in Mark's gospel, these will be the very same markers that appear during Jesus' passion. The Last Supper begins when it was evening. Jesus prays in Gethsemane in the middle of the night. Peter denies him when the cock crowed. And Jesus is given over to Pilate as soon as it was morning. In each of these dark times, Jesus was still there. He was going through real suffering in the real world, and he was still in charge. That means he is going through real suffering now, with our world and with you. And he is still in charge. His call to stay awake is a call to notice that he is here and in charge. Think about how the disciples fell asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was going through this extreme suffering, but the disciples weren't paying any attention to it. In our day, it's really easy for us to focus on the negative in the world. But we need to stay awake to see that Jesus is still bringing new life. So yes, the Jewish-Roman war with the destruction of the temple was a major event, and life would never be the same after it. And yes, this year with COVID-19 is a major event, and life will never be the same after it. But the death and resurrection of Jesus is also a major event. And life will really not be the same after that. Those early believers who were living in the midst of that war were also living on this side of the empty tomb, just like we are. They knew, and we know, that despite all of the horrible things that are happening in the world, Christ is still victorious over all of it. Even when life seems to be spinning out of control, your world can still revolve around the cross. So if we could pick one word to describe this year, maybe the best word is really a phrase. Death and resurrection. Because no matter what's happening in the world, Jesus and his words will not pass away. That is a great promise, whether you're living in the year 70 or in the year 2020. So, in the name of the one who is still in charge, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.